So I was approached to talk about Sankirtan, and one of the Sankirtan leaders, I happened to meet him, and he said, I asked him, what verse should I speak on? So he told me this verse. So I'm going to try and speak on this verse, just following his lead. It's a beautiful verse from Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text 16. So this is a wonderful verse to meditate on. It's a discussion between Lord Krishna and Uddhava, who is both his cousin and his friend, and a dear devotee. And we see this verse has many wonderful indications. In gist, it says, Nirapeksham Munim Shantam Nirvairam Samadarshanam. So a muni who has these four qualities. What are the four qualities of the muni? Nirapeksham, number one. Number two, Shantam. Number three, Nirvairam. And number four, Samadarshanam. A muni, a devotee with these four qualities, is very special. Because Krishna tells Uddhava, Anuvrajami aham nityam. He does not follow me, I follow him. Krishna says, Anuvrajami aham nityam. I always follow such a person who has these four qualities. I always follow my devotee. So far we learned that we have to become a servant of Krishna, a servant of the servants of Krishna. Here Krishna is saying, I follow that devotee. And then he says something which is so difficult to grasp, that traditionally I'll give you a sense of what the acharyas make out of it. But the next sentence is, why do I follow my devotees? To purify myself. Angri renu bihi, by the dust of their feet. The Lord is saying, just if, in case you're not fully here yet, the Lord is saying that I follow my pure devotee to purify myself with the dust of their lotus feet. So this is the love of the Lord for his devotees. This is how bhakta vatsala he is. We all want to become lovers of the Lord, and the Lord is a lover of his devotees. What is the goal of spiritual life? What is the goal of spiritual life?
Please.
To please Krishna? Yes.
Develop love for Krishna.
To develop love for Krishna. Both correct. To develop Krishna consciousness. So how do we develop Krishna consciousness? How do we develop love for Krishna? How do we please Krishna?
By serving his devotees.
By serving his devotees. Jad Bharat was approached by King Raghuvana, the great king of Sauvira kingdom. Sauvira is now Sindh in Pakistan. So he was the king of that region. The entire region of what we call this Afghanistan, Pakistan, he was the king of that region. He approached Jad Bharat. And of course we know the pastime of Jad Bharat. And at the end, he surrendered to Jad Bharat and he asked him, you seem to be an exalted spiritual personality. Please tell me, how do I perfect my life? And Jhat Bharat gives this verse, which was the favorite verse of His Grace Shruti Dhammapuru, whenever he and I would sit together, at least once in every other meeting, we would talk about this verse. Does anyone know this verse? His instruction? Rahu ganetat tapasana yati. Rahu ganetat tapasana yati. O Rahu Gana, you are not going to get perfection in spiritual life by tapasya. Some people think we just do tapasya and we can be perfect. Nache jaya, not by deity worship. Something, I'm on the altar, I'm a brahmana, I'm superior than everyone else. In the 11th canto, Krishna says that deity worship is for neophytes. Preaching is for the advanced. It is true, Prabhupada said this many times. We have these concepts. If I do tapasya, if I do deity worship, I'm perfecting myself. Nirvapanat, grihadva. Nirvapanat, by offering oblations, so many things, oh, I'm a brahmana. I can chant many mantras and I can please the Lord. And that is how I can receive His grace. Nirvapana Swaha Om Indraya Swaha Varnaya Swaha Vishnu Swaha. You do all the Swahas? Krishna will be pleased. But Jada Bharat says, not by tapasya, not by ijya worship, not by your offerings. Nirvapana Grihadva, then what? Maybe I can become a very ideal grihastha. Nice family life, very balanced spiritual material life. Enjoy sometimes, and then when you are fed up, chant your rounds, then go enjoy your penance. Jada Bharat throws that out. He says, not even by being a perfect grihastha can you attain the goal of life. Then what? I think you have to become a Sanskrit scholar. Scholar in the Vedas, scholar in the Upanishads. You have to be a wonderful orator. Then he says, na chandasa. No, not by chandas, not by being a scholar, you will not receive the grace of the Lord. Jala agni suryai. Not by standing in the cold river in the middle of the winter, nor surrounding yourself with fire in the heat of the sun, that will not. This kind of self-torture will also not invoke the grace of the Lord. So what will invoke the grace of the Lord? He gives the answer. Vina mahatpad rajo vishekam. Without taking abhishek. You know what abhishek is? It comes from sich dhatu in Sanskrit, which means to shower. Abhishek means to shower. Completely drench. Early morning, we stand under the shower, drenching yourself. That is abhishek. Jada Bharat says, unless you do this particular abhishek, you cannot attain the goal of life. What is that abhishek? Vida mahatpad rajo vishekam. Without the abhishek of the dust of the lotus feet of the great souls. Mahatpada Raja. Raja means dust. So should we, after the class, all gather here, maybe with broomsticks, broom the temple hall, collect the dust, take shower? Is this the meaning? What is it? What does it mean to take abhishek of the dust? Why is there so much discussion about the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, of the devotees? Anyone? What is the significance of this dust?
Proper service attitude.
Have a service attitude. You see, many of these, just like in English, there are idioms. You say certain things, which is an idiom. In Sanskrit also, there are idiomatic usages. And when somebody says, like for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita we find, Dante Trina Dhori, taking a blade of grass in between your teeth and approaching the spiritual master, or approaching Mahaprabhu. Rupa and Sanatana, they approach Mahaprabhu by sticking a blade of grass in their, between their teeth. What's the meaning? Does it mean really taking and doing that? Yes, but there's also a significance to it. Similarly, serving the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees is actually taking their dust, yes, but there's also a spiritual significance and understanding behind it. So what is the understanding, taking a blade of grass in between your teeth?
Humility.
Humility. How is it humility? Because generally when you approach someone, right now also while you are listening to me, the mind is talking to you and telling you, when is this class finishing? When do I get my breakfast? Oh, I heard today is Ekadashi still till 11 a.m. So I will get Ekadashi prasadam. I wish I could eat non-Ekadashi. All kind of things. Maybe I'll go home and I'll cook a pizza for myself. All kinds of things. Your mind is talking. I'm talking to you, but your mind is already talking to you. So, to not talk back. To control your mind, control your words, is to put a blade of grass. Imagine you stick a blade of grass in between your teeth. What can you speak without dropping the blade? Can you speak? No? So when you approach a spiritual master, when you approach a spiritually significant personality, you approach in that mood. There is nothing for me to speak. I am a fool. Murkhami, even Mahaprabhu says, I am a fool. What can I speak? You tell me, you guide me, you instruct me. So what is the significance of the dust? You see, the dust has a quality. The quality of the dust is two things. One, it always remains stuck to the feet in a lower, inferior position. It's always, wherever the feet is going, the dust goes along with it. Isn't it? There's dust stuck on the feet. The significance of serving the dust or becoming a dust particle is to serve that personality, is to follow their footsteps, is to serve their desires. The dust never thinks, oh, I want to separate from the feet and fly off somewhere. No, it is stuck. Wherever the feet goes, the dust goes. So the significance of the dust is to follow the footsteps, is to fulfill the desire. So when the Lord says, I want to purify myself by the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees are their desires, are their instructions. The Lord fulfills, He considers His position as only relevant to the degree He can fulfill the desire of His devotees. Otherwise He says, what is the relevance of my position? This is the love that He has for His devotees. And His devotees are very dear to Him. You see, generally, who is dear to us? Our family members, friends, they are very dear. We say, oh, my son, daughter, my wife, my friends, my grandchildren, if I have any. My own body is dear to me. Who is dear to Krishna? Krishna tells Uddhava just before this particular verse, He says, please listen carefully. He tells Uddhava these words. He says, Natatha me priyatama. There is nobody dear to me more than you. Not even Atmayonihi, Not even one who is my firstborn son. Who's that?
Brahma.
He appeared from Krishna. He says, Brahma is not so dear to me, as dear as you are. Na Shankaraha. Not even my grandson. From Brahma came Shankara. So my son is not dear to me. My grandson is also not dear to me. Shankara also. Sham means to be happy. So Shankaraha means one who makes him happy. Lord Shankara, Lord Shiva makes Krishna very happy. And he considers him to be a friend also. So although he is a friend or my grandson, I'm not considering him to be the dearmost. Nacha Shankar Shano na Shri. Nacha Shankar Shanaha. Shankar Shana, who is Shankar Shana? Balramji. My brother. My son is not dear to me. My grandson is not dear to me. My brother is not dear to me. Nacha Shri. Shri, who is Shri? Lakshmi Devi. Wife. Radharani. Of course, here it means Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi is not dear to me as much as you are. Then he says, Naiva Atma cha yatha bhavan. Na eva Atma. Atma, self. The Acharyas have commented here, the self means the deity form of the Lord. The Lord is saying, I am my own deity form and I'm not as dear to, yet the deity form of mine is not as dear to me as my devotees. So never disrespect a devotee on the pretext of serving the deity. As Krishna has said, here he is saying, my deity is more dear to me than my own deity form. My devotee is more dear to me than my own deity form. Naivatma cha yatha bhavan. Once Madan Mohan Malviya came to visit Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and there was a Madan Mohan Malviya was some kind of a devotee. He was becoming a devotee under the preaching of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a great politician and a big man in India. And there was a brahmachari on the altar worshipping the Lord. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, come, make some prasadam, bring some prasadam and give it to Madan Mohan Malviya. So he did that. And later on he asked Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I was worshipping the Lord and you asked me to get off the altar to worship, to serve this Madan Mohan Malviya. And Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the Lord is more pleased than serving him is serving his devotees. Those who are trying to bring others in. So we see this. So Krishna says, my devotee is most dear, but then what does Uddhava say? Krishna is telling Uddhava, Uddhava, you are most dear to me. Who is most dear to Uddhava? Krishna is saying, Uddhava, you are most dear to me. Now the question is, who is most dear to Uddhava? Uddhava is answering in 10th canto, chapter 47, verse 61. He says, Asamaho charana renu jushamaham syam. He's telling the gopis, Asam, amongst you I would like to be. He's telling the gopis, what do I want to be? I want to be that thing which is always covered with the dust. So if you go to the forest of Vrindavan, what is covered with dust? Mushrooms? Okay. Plants?
Grass.
Grass is covered with dust, yes. And plants? Whatever grows, all the foliage is covered in dust. So here we see that Uddhava is saying, Asam Aho Charana Renu Jusham Aham Syam. I want to be that thing which is always rejoicing in your dust, O gopis. Vrindavane, I want to be born in Vrindavan. Kimapi, nobody significant, just somebody. Who is that somebody? Gulma lata aushadhi naam. I want to be a gulma, a little creeper, a lata, small plant, aushadhi, or a little foliage somewhere, little leaf. Why? Because if I can be a little creeper, then the gopis, your dust will fall on my feet. So Krishna is telling Uddhava, you are the best of my devotee. But Uddhava is saying, I'm not after you, Krishna. I want the dust of the gopis. This exemplifies the superior position of the gopis. Yadustyajam swajanam aryapatham chahitva. Why are they so glorious? Because they gave up everything. For Bhejur Mukunda Padavim, who worship Mukunda, Shruti Vimrigyam, Shruti Vihi. The Vedas, they are saying, is this Krishna? No. Na iti, na iti, na ti, neti, neti, neti. The Vedas are saying, neti, neti, neti. They are trying to find Krishna, but the gopis actually served him. And the Lord served them. So we see that every devotee is essentially sustained on the dust of another devotee. This is our philosophy. And here the dust means instructions. Following the dust means following the desires, following the instructions. Krishna serves the instructions. Yeah, actually the word is very beautiful. Puyeya, this word. Which means, I purify, Krishna says. I purify myself. I follow my devotees because when the dust of my devotees blow on me, I purify myself. Angri renubi. This is very profound. So can anyone tell me how Krishna needs to be purified? He is all pure. In Bhagavad Gita we see, Pavitram Paramam Mahan. Arjuna says, you are all supremely pure. So someone who is supremely pure, what is the requirement, what is the necessity for getting purified? Anyone? What is the necessity for the Lord to be purified? So various acharyas have taken their own wonderful perspectives on this. Sridhar Swami says, actually the Lord is supremely pure. But within the body of the Lord, within the body of the Lord is the Brahmandas, is the universes. All the universes are within the body of the Lord. Even as Mahavishnu, when he breathes out, then he breathes in, so all the universes are in the body of the Lord. And the universes need to be purified. And they can only be purified by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. And hence, the Lord follows the dust, is purified by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees, meaning the Brahmandas are purified by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees like Srila Prabhupada. The Senapati Bhakta, who could have stayed in Vrindavan but ventured out to give Krishna, to give Vrindavan to everyone, to perform that Sankirtan Yajna. Sankirtan Yajna means Jiva Goswami defines it as samyak samuhe kirtanam. Properly done in group for everyone. That kirtana is sankirtana. And that sankirtan yajna is what propelled Prabhupada to leave Vrindavan. So this is one explanation given by Vijaya Swami. Of course, Vijaya Doja of the Madhva Sampradaya, just this morning I was reading the commentaries for the Acharyas. He finds this line very difficult to explain. So he says actually the Lord follows the devotee because while following, the wind blows and the dust of the Lord's lotus feet blows onto the devotee and purifies the devotee. That is why the Lord follows the devotee. This is his explanation. Then you have Sudarshan Suri from the Nimbarka Sampradaya. He says, this is just a Atishaya. Atishaya means this is just an exaggerated glorification of the position of a devotee. Then we have Radharaman Goswami, who is a guru of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, I agree with Sridhar Swami. Yeah, Giridhar Lal from Rudra Sampradaya, he also says, I agree with Sridhar Swami. That the Lord is saying this, that he will be purified, means the universes within him will be purified by the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes a different position. In his Sarartha Darshini, he says, one cannot attain bhakti unless one is blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees, of the lotus devotees. And without bhakti, one cannot experience the bliss of the highest order. So the Lord has established this rule. So the Lord is saying, since I have established this rule, I should myself experience it. And hence, to follow the rule that he has already established, he does this. But personally, I like in Krama Sandarbha when I read Jiva Goswami's commentary, it's very, very dear, very sweet. He just writes one small line and he says, actually, the Lord is following his devotees to be purified. Puyeya, to be purified. Charana Renubi, Angri Renubi, Angri means Charana. Angri Renubi, to be purified by the dust from the feet of the devotees. Why? Jiva Goswami says, because the Lord feels indebted that there is something this person has done for me, his devotional service, that I cannot pay him back for. The only thing I can do is to pay my obeisances to him in return. I cannot give anything back to him. So all I can do is just take his dust and say thank you. Thank you for the love you're showing me. I cannot do anything to you. I cannot give back. This is Jiva Goswami's commentary in Krama Sandarbha. It's a beautiful commentary. So we see that by following Srila Prabhupada and the Sankirtan movement, his desire, the Lord fulfills the desire of a pure devotee because he follows the pure devotee to the degree that he is after the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. When Prabhupada left India, on the Jaladuta, he writes, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you wish me to dance. Just like a puppet. You are the puppeteer, I am the puppet. But the Lord knows what was the heart of Srila Prabhupada? The instruction of his Guru Maharaj. What was the instruction of Guru Maharaj? This Sankirtan, the glories of the Lord. Basically, what is Sankirtana? Kirtana means, it comes from the Sanskrit root Kirt, which means to glorify, to make famous. Nowadays, we are all into making ourselves famous by having so many social media sites that we subscribe to. But the real making famous is making the Lord famous. Making Krishna consciousness viral. Making this Sankirtan Yajna is making Krishna consciousness viral everywhere. That is what was the desire of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And his Param Guru, also his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in 1896, the year when Prabhupada appeared, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent to McGill University in Canada, he sent his book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And you go back to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami was the first Sankirtan leader in Radha Damodar Mandir. You see that is the place where Jiva Goswami, he taught Bhagavatam, and he said many manuscripts should be written of all the works of the Goswamis and sent in three directions. He sent Narottam, he sent Srinivas to distribute the books. That book distribution movement started from there. Of course, the Nagar Sankirtan started from Mahaprabhu himself, because that is the Yuga Dharma. There are many yatnas in previous ages. The only yatna for this age is the Sankirtan. So we see that Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. He serves the lotus feet of his devotee, even physically. Any example of where the Lord served the lotus feet of his devotee physically? Huh? Sudama is a great example, yes. So Sudama, yes, David, you want to say something?
Arjuna,
yeah. So many examples. Just see the magnanimity of the Lord. Not only he, but he asked his wife. Who is the wife of Narayan? Lakshmi.
Mahalakshmi.
He asked Lakshmi Devi in the form of, who is the wife of Dwarkadish Krishna? Rukmini. Rukmini's expansion is Mahalakshmi. He asked Rukmini also to wash the feet of Sudama. Lakshmi Devi washing the feet. Devotee doesn't endeavor for money. And Mr. Birla was on Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was talking to Mr. Birla, and Mr. Birla had one particular servant who was very dedicated. For 45 years he had been serving Mr. Birla. Big mustache from Bihar. Yeah, big fat man, tall. And he was serving Mr. Birla nicely. And Sri Prabhupada was there with his disciples, Giriraj Maharaj and others. All American boys and girls and some English boys and girls. And he was in Mr. Birla's house. And he was telling Mr. Birla was known to flaunt his wealth, to show off his wealth. So he had this very grand arrangement for prasadam. Prabhupada was sitting on the dining table with Mr. Birla. And Mr. Birla went on saying, we have done this, we have done that. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you serve Narayan, Lakshmi Devi automatically will be pleased with you. Just look at us. This servant of yours, he was pointing to this big guy. This servant of yours, where is he from? Mr. Birla said, oh, he's been in our family for 45 years. And he's serving us. He's from Bihar. He said, oh, Prabhupada said, and how much you pay him? So Mr. Birla, yeah, I pay him 300 rupees a month. In those days, it's a good amount of money. And Srila Prabhupada said, and look at me. You have this fat old man serving you. I have so many American boys and girls. And just by pointing my finger once, they will stand up and come. And they will serve me. And I don't even pay them a single penny. And then Srila Prabhupada went on to show his Bank of America credit card. He said, in America they gave me credit card for $3,000 limit. And then Prabhupada said, he showed his passport and he said, the government of America, they approved my green card. So Prabhupada had a green card. So he showed his green card. Mr. Birla was slowly sulking and he didn't know what to say. And then Prabhupada made a point. Lakshmi Devi serves the devotees of the Lord. They don't separately have pure devotees. So we see Sudama, he tells, on the way back, when Sudama is leaving Dwarka, he's thinking, just see, my Lord is so merciful. And he's contemplating, talking to himself, he says, Shushrushaya Paramaya, in the best manner, as the best of servants, the Lord served me, as the best of servants. Pada Samvahana Divi. Samvahana means you take the feet and you do massage properly and then you apply some chandan and wash it. And then the Lord took that and he sprinkled everywhere in his palace to purify his palace and he drank it. And Ramadevi, who is Ramadevi here? Rukmini Devi was shocked. What is he doing? He's drinking the water washed, that is, washed the dust of the feet of his devotee. Pujito Deva Devena. Here, Sudama is saying, I was worshipped by the Deva of the Devas, Deva Devena. Vipra Devena Devavat. Vipradevena, who is worshipped by the Brahmanas, who is worshipped by the demigods, he worshipped me as Devavat, as the Supreme Lord, as if I am the Supreme Lord. The Lord worshipped me as if I am the Supreme Lord. So this is, now there was something that Sutta Goswami tells the assembly of the sages in Naimisharanya, which really chokes the throats of these sages, when they hear it, their hair stand on end. Do you want to hear that? There you go. So the first canto, it's not something esoteric or anything, but such profound love of the Lord. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 16, verse 16, Sutta Goswami is telling the sages of Naimisharanya that this Parikshit Maharaj that you are inquiring about, he's not ordinary. Look at his lineage. Look at the Lord's relationship with the family members of Parikshit. What was the Lord's relationship? This was the relationship of the Lord. Sathya Parshada Sevana Sakya Dautya. What did the Lord do for the Pandavas? Sarathya. Sarathya means he became the charioteer. You know how a charioteer is treated? If you are in the middle of a war, fighting, and there is a charioteer, and you want the charioteer to go faster, then you kick the charioteer on the back, under the neck, 3 times. It's faster. If you want him to stop, you kick the charioteer on his head once. If you want him to go left, kick him on the left. Want him to go right, kick him on the right. And because you are a warrior, you are not sitting in a class telling someone to do something gently. You are in this passionate mode, fighting. Do you think your kicks will be very soft and gentle? We were in Vrindavan and we went to Ramanreti and some devotees started a mock fight, wrestling in Ramanreti. And that mock fight turned into such veer ras that one devotee bounced the other person and broke his ribs. So even in mock fight we do this, imagine in real war. How would you treat a sarathya? Sarathi means sarathi, one who is on you with the ratha, on the ratha with you. So that person, the chariot driver, was Krishna, and Arjuna was the one. How did Arjuna tell Krishna? Did he stop, put the arrow down, bow down, and say, "My dear Lord, please turn left"? No, he did not do that. So here, you see, the first word that Suta Goswami is telling the rishis of Naimisharanya is, he was the sarathi of the Lord. Parashada. Parashada means one who was the first person to receive the offering after the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was the first person who was given the offering, who was respected. Sevana. Sevana means in the same Rajasuya Yajna. And this is what I want to emphasize. Not only is the Lord ready to serve the lotus feet of his devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, serving his lotus feet meaning fulfilling his desires. The Lord fulfills the desires of Prabhupada. But not only that, sevana. Please listen carefully. In the Rajasuya Yajna, Bhima was in charge of the kitchen. Nakula and Sahadeva were in charge of the external management. Arjuna was in charge of security. Yudhishthira was in charge of overseeing all the yajnas and other things are there. What was Krishna in charge of? Sevana. He was a guest greeter. And as a guest greeter, he was washing the feet of every person who came to attend the Rajasuya Yajna, whether he was a friend, a foe, or an indifferent person. Just because he was coming to attend the Rajasuya Yajna, including the demigods who came, the rishis who came, the Lord was washing their feet because that was his service to Yudhishthira. So not only the Lord washes the feet of the devotee, but even the devotees, devotees. This is his, actually his magnanimity, his mercy, his grace is something that cannot be fathomed, cannot be described. So here he says, Sarathya Parshada Sevana Sakya Dautya. Sakya, he was a friend. Dautya, he became a Duta. Duta means a messenger. Krishna personally went as a messenger to Duryodhana on behalf of the devotees. Veera sananu gaman gamana stavana pranamam. Veerasana. Veerasana means a night watchman. During the war, while the Pandavas were in their tent during night, there was one person who did never sleep. That is the Lord Himself. He said, "I have to do something. I have said I am not going to fight in this war, but I have to do something. So I will stay outside the tent to make sure nobody who is not meant to enter inside is allowed inside." So he was standing outside. Watchman. Krishna is a watchman. Anugamana. Wherever the Pandavas went, the Pandavas said, "Oh, we have got our Pitamaha Bhishma on the bed of arrows. You would like to go and see him?" Krishna said, "I will come along." So Bhishma says, "Because the Pandavas, because Arjuna, Yudhishthira, you all are here, the Lord is here. He follows wherever you go." Here also he says, "Puyaya iti angri renu vihi." So the Lord fulfills the desire of pure devotees, Krishna Prabhupada. Snigdeshu Pandushu, because he was dear to the Pandavas. Actually, this verdict is given by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and you don't find this anywhere else in Bhagavatam. Anywhere else. It's a beautiful mention in 10th canto, chapter 86, verse 59, where Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, who is Bhagwan? He defines Bhagwan. In 10th canto, towards the end of 10th canto, he defines Bhagwan as भगवान भक्त भक्तिमान भगवान इज ही हु परफॉर्म्स द भक्ति ऑफ हिज भक्त दिस इज फ्रॉम भागवतम शुकदेव गोस्वामी हु इज भगवान मेनी डेफिनेशंस ऑफ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड आर देयर बट दिस डेफिनेशन इज सो स्वीट एंड यूनिक ही इज द वन हु परफॉर्म्स भक्ति हु परफॉर्म्स भक्ति भगवान इज समवन हु परफॉर्म्स भक्ति ऑफ हु ऑफ हिज भक्त भगवान भक्त भक्तिमान सो वी सी दिस एंड नाउ कमिंग टू दिस पॉइंट व्हाट इज द नेचर ऑफ दीज ग्रेट सोल्स दैट कृष्णा फॉलोज मुनि निरपेक्षम मुनि शांतम मुनि व्हाट इज द नेचर ऑफ दिस मुनि नारद मुनि हिमसेल्फ टेल्स द नेचर ऑफ दिस मुनीस व्यासदेव asks Narada, how did you become Narada? Relating his own life, previous life, Narada Muni says how he was a Dasi Putra. And as a small boy, he had the great fortune of associating with the great souls, whom Srila Prabhupada very beautifully calls them in translation, he says, they were the Bhakti Vedantas. Why? Just listen. Very sweet understanding. First canto, fifth chapter, verse 28. These munis, these Bhakti Vedantas were what? Who were they? Sankirtyamanam. This is from Bhagavatam. They were performing Sankirtan. Sankirtyamanam munibhir mahatmabhir. They were Mahatmas. Who were performing Sankirtan, who were going around glorifying the Lord. That is why Prabhupada called them Bhakti Vedantas. Bhakti Pravrittatma Rajastapoha Tamopaha. Tamopaha means Rajas and Tama. These modes of nature, lower modes of nature, were suppressed by my association, Narada Muni says. Of these great Bhakti Vedantas who are Sankirtyamana Muni. Sankirtyamana. They are munis who are not selfish. In Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Narasingadev, he says there are many munis who are selfish, who are only interested in their own welfare and well being. But the greatest muni is he who leaves his own. Place and position for the welfare of everyone else. So here, Sankirtyamana Muni. And such a Muni has four qualities. Nirapeksha. Nirapeksha, he doesn't have. Apeksha means expectation. Nirapeksha means no expectation. So how can you have no expectation? The acharyas have explained, Jiva Goswami commenting on this nirapeksha, he says, here nirapeksha does not mean no expectation. It means no expectation of anything material. Which means one is only absorbed in Krishna Katha continuously, uninterruptedly. You see, when the sages of Naimisharanya, they were gathered according to the Bhagavatam, when they were gathered, and they asked Suta Goswami to recite. Suta, please recite what you have heard in that assembly between Parikshit and Shukadev. What did you hear? Please recite. The sages are very clever. They think that Suta might give some excuse for not reciting continuously. So they tell Suta, we are never satisfied with Harikatha. So you continue reciting. And then Suta might say, well, I will continue reciting, but some of you are very old, some of you are 100, 200, 300, 500 years old. Maybe some of you might drop dead. Maybe some of you might have some disease, some pains, aches and pains. How can I continuously speak? So the rishis of Naimisharanya were so powerful that they said, and in case you are going to think like that, let me tell you, let us tell you, please continue this Bhagavad Katha uninterruptedly. Because amongst us, we have made sure that there is also Yamaraj sitting amongst us. This is mentioned in Bhagavad. Yamaraj is also here. So currently the office is closed. So no souls are going to die. No Yamadutas are all relaxing. They are so busy. Sometimes they get holidays. So they are getting this holiday period. And Yamaraj himself is here. So you can leave. Nobody will die. Nothing will happen. World will go on. Not even a leaf will fall. Nothing. You just continue. So a pure devotee, Nirapeksha, is absorbed in the Katha of the Lord. 1972, Sri Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and I heard this from the Murusmatha of Zolan Sravan Swami Maharaj many years ago. He was in New Vrindavan, and at midnight, Prabhupada, it was Janmashtami, at midnight, Prabhupada said, okay, let us read Krishna Bhakti. The devotees were fasting all day in Nirjala. So many devotees, hundreds of them in the temple room, completely packed, steaming, sweating. They were just summer, right? Janmashtami is in the summer. So they were really feeling, now the day should end and we should get prasadam. And then Prabhupada at midnight says, let us read the Krishna book. And then the devotee said, Jai Shri Prabhupada. So they started reading Krishna book. And as the Krishna book was being read, Prabhupada, with a single focus, was looking directly at Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, absorbed, his eyes glued at the Lord as he was hearing. And the person who was reciting, he started. Thus begins the first chapter of Krishna book, the advent of Lord Krishna. And then he was reciting the chapter. And as the chapter was being recited, everyone else was sleeping, like some of you might be sleeping. Everyone else was feeling, oh, I can't follow a single thing. The only thing I can think of is prasadam. And then, as the first chapter was finishing, there were sannyasis there, and their dandas were falling and hitting other people. And the grihasthas were being hit by the dandas of the sannyasi. There was some chaos going on there. I mean, Bharat says it very nicely. Yeah. So then, as the first chapter came to an end, thus ends the first chapter titled The Advent of Lord Krishna. Everyone woke up and they said, oh, that's finished now. And they said, Jai. And then Srila Prabhupada, in his style, he looked at that devotee was reading, he said, next chapter. And then everyone, again they said, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Because we have no taste. And the next chapter read. The next chapter, so the devotee was reading was also struggling. He said, chapter 2, titled, The Prayer by the Demigods for the Lord Krishna. He's in the womb, his mother. So the chapter is going on, and the prayers of demigods are being recited, and Prabhupada is absorbed. The devotees are thinking, why these demigods are praying so much? When are they finishing? What do you have to say so much? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Finish! So they could not take it. And then the chapter finished. And then Prabhupada looked at the devotees and he understood. People were snoring, sleeping on each other, dandas were falling on each other. Prabhupada being very compassionate, understanding that in a conditioned nature, this nirapeksha is not possible to be fully absorbed. Prabhupada said, okay, we shall stop here. And Hari said, Jai Shri Prabhupada! Very loud. So, Prabhupada is always absorbed. Even in terms of nirapeksha, Shruti Kirti Prabhu says how Prabhupada was the same. Shruti Kirti Prabhu traveled with him. From Manal, they went to Bombay, then to Calcutta and Mayapur. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu said Prabhupada was like a king in Bhaktivedanta Manal. He was treated like a king. And he was perfectly fine there. And when we reached Mayapur, he was in a straw hut, surrounded with swamps and mosquitoes and snakes and wolves in the fields howling at night. And Srila Prabhupada was undeterred. He was the same. And Srila Kirti Prabhu says, I could not bear it. I was thinking of the Bhaktivedanta Manor and I was wishing, oh, maybe we should have stayed there longer. But Prabhupada was externally undeterred, unaffected. This is nirapeksha. This is the kind of devotee that the Lord is saying. His dust purifies the three worlds. His dust is what they follow. Second quality of this devotee is shantam. He is always peaceful. Girar Maharaj once, I heard from him, when Prabhupada was invited to Juhu Temple for the first time, Surabhi Swami, who was the architect, he had designed in the twin towers, top floor, he had designed Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada had approved the design. So when Prabhupada came, they took Prabhupada further up inside to where now there was, at one point there was this Bhaktivedanta school. Prabhupada was taken there. And Prabhupada said, no, my room is not here. My room is in the twin tower. Devotees were quite apprehensive because the twin tower, nothing was there. Even the windows weren't there in Prabhupada's room. It was full of mud and the walls were not even painted. There were only two light bulbs hanging from the wall, from the ceiling. The rooms were not ready. And Prabhupada would not get out of the car and he would say, my rooms are in the twin tower, I'll go there. So the devotees would wonder, what do we do? We've made one nice room for Prabhupada here. And Prabhupada insisted and they took him on the palanquin, they took him to the first floor, then took the lift to the fifth floor and went to Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada went inside the room, Giriraj Maharaj was there, Tamakrishna Maharaj was there. Prabhupada started crying and he said, tears, not crying, but with tears in his eyes, tears of love. He said, I'm so grateful to you. You made such wonderful arrangement. And Surabhi Swami, he wanted to offer Guru Puja. So he was trying to light the lamp, but the wind was gusting in from the window and would blow out the wick, the ghee wick. And Srila Prabhupada was still very tolerant, not expecting anything. And shant, he remained equipoised, shant, keeping calm, remaining calm all the time. Similarly, when he was in Japan once, you might have heard this. There was this place that they hired for Prabhupada. It was a traditional Japanese home with paper walls. And traditional Japanese homes, they have toilets outside and there's a pot, a hole in the ground, and you go toilet there. So Prabhupada was there in the room and then it was very cold in the winter. Prabhupada did not feel comfortable. So the devotees went to the landlord and said, can we get another portable heater? There was one that they had given. Can we get another one? The landlady was not very happy and she said, okay, take it. And then there was a very bad smell because the stool pits, which people call stool and urine, were full and they had not been cleaned for a few weeks because the cleaners had not come. But so Prabhupada was not feeling good, so the devotees went to the landlord and landlady again. The landlord was very kind. So the landlord said, okay, I will take buckets and I will empty the stool pits myself. So the devotees were very grateful to him. And the next day was a program in the same house. Many guests came, Prabhupada was speaking. And while Prabhupada was speaking, in the middle of the class, one short, fat Japanese lady with a knife or some kind of a thing came inside and started yelling in Japanese. And Prabhupada, as if, you know, there was not a big deal. All the guests were like a little apprehensive, what's going on. Prabhupada said, who is this lady? And so the devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, this is that landlord's wife. And Prabhupada looked at her, went close to the mic and said to the audience, Japanese landlady, never mind. And he started talking again. And everyone burst into laughter. And the lady, waving her knife, when she went out, was completely equipped. Shanti. We cannot remain shanti artificially. Pure devotee was connected to the Lord is always shanti. Nirvaira. Nirvaira is the next one. Nirvaira means not to be envious of anyone. Vaira means to have enmity. Nirvaira means who has no enmity towards anyone. There was one, Kiriraj Maharaj was once explaining that there was one devotee called Chaita Guru. He was a Sardarji, Sikh. Prabhupada had given him initiation and given him the name Chaita Guru Das. And he was the one who used to drive Tama Vishnu Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj to different places in Mumbai. So he did a lot of seva, but at some point, somehow, his mind changed and he was on Juhu Beach. He became disciple of some other, after taking Vishnu Prabhupada, became disciple of some other yogi. And the goal was that yogi was going to teach him how to put a 1 rupee coin from his right ear and bring it out from the left ear. This is what he wanted to learn from this yogi. So all Tamal Krishna Maharaj and everyone was criticizing him. This is such a stupid fool guy. You know, he was servant of Prabhupada, now he's doing some putting coin from one ear. Why he wants to do this? And they went to Prabhupada and told Prabhupada. Prabhupada was there. They went and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this Chaitanya Guru has gone crazy. You should not. And sometimes he would come for prasadam to the temple. Only for prasadam. Then he would go again and try food. So they said, this, he's gone crazy. And Prabhupada said, no, please allow him to come for prasadam. He said, you do not know the glory of the mercy of Nityananda. And later on, Chaitanya Guru came back. He surrendered to Prabhupada again. And you can shut that door, please. He surrendered to Prabhupada again. And Prabhupada even gave him sannyas. So, Nirvaira, one who is not. But anyway, samadarshana, pandita, samadarshana. So pandita, sama, what are the words? Brahmane gavinasya hasti. So panditas are samadarshi.
So once in Bombay, Giriraj Maharaj was in the room. I heard a lot from Giriraj Maharaj actually. I spent time in Bombay, in Ras Biharis. Once Sridhar Swami in 1996, Prabhupada's centennial in the Pandal program in Ras Bihari, he took the mic and they were all introducing each other. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Bhaktisar Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, they were all on the stage. They would all pass the mic by introducing the next speaker. So Sridhar Swami was there and then Giriraj Maharaj. Sridhar Swami took the mic and he said, "Now I would request His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj to speak." And his introduction is, "He is Prabhupada Nectar Acharya." He's always speaking of Prabhupada. So anyway, Giriraj Maharaj once said, I heard from him, that there was a man, an old man, he came barging into Prabhupada's room in Juhu. And he told Prabhupada, "You are sadhu, you are meant to be samadarshi, pandit." He looks at everyone equally, and yet you criticize those who are not devotees. And you glorify those who are devotees. No, you have to be equal vision. Why are you discriminating? So first Prabhupada said, "Oh, I am not at that level. So I make distinguished. I distinguish. I am not at that level. So I still make distinction." No, but Bhagavad Gita says that you have to be samadarshi. You have to come to that level. You have to be a pandit. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "Here samadarshi means he who looks at everyone equally and gives Krishna to everyone without discrimination. And that is what I have done. I am giving Krishna to everyone indiscriminately. And that is my version." He, Prabhupada actually said, "That is my contribution to being samadarshi." Sama means equal. Darshi means seeing. If you see it, everyone equally, you treat them equally. So Prabhupada said, "I give Krishna to everyone indiscriminately." And this man, old man who came in with so much of anger, he was so happy and convinced. He went out and all the way out to the temple he was saying, He is Samadarshi, I've met him, he is Samadarshi. And the Samadarshi means equal. Actually, let us reflect also. Sankirtyamanam munivir mahatmavir. Narada Muni says, these munis are those who do Sankirtan. These munis, Prabhupada himself did Sankirtan. He had these qualities in perfection. But when we go out on Sankirtan also, yesterday, Pantran Guru was saying, taking his inspiration from Govind Guru, he spoke about those sutras. So actually, sutras, one of the qualities of sutras is Laghava. Laghava means it is the shortest possible word. So these four words are also like sutras here. When we go out book distribution, we can meditate on these because we are also trying to be. We are not munis yet. We are trying to be. By serving the perfected muni, Srila Prabhupada, whose desire the Lord fulfills. That Senapati Bhakta whose desire the Lord fulfills. That Senapati Bhakta who purifies the three worlds. By serving that Srila Prabhupada, we should also follow his footsteps, imbibe those qualities. And these four things we can remember while we go out, hit the street, do door to door. Number one, nirapeksha. Do not expect anything. If somebody does not open the door, so be it. If they even heard the knock. Krishna says in the next life they start from where they leave now. So in this life, if they just hear the knock, next life they will open the door. If somebody opened the door and shook it, next life they will start from where they stopped. Next life they have to let the book in. So Somebody just looked at the book and gave it back. Logically, next slide, they have to take the book and open it and read. So even if you are just standing there with the books and somebody happens to pass by, Krishna will ensure there will be an opportunity in this life or next for that person to stop by. So Sankirtan is such a service where there is no failure. There are many services where there can be failure. This morning was my wife and I were cooking for the breakfast. So while we are cooking, I did the halwa, then I did the milk, and my halwa was already started, and she started with the sabji. Then somebody came in and said, today the breakfast, Ekadashi, Paran time is at 11 in the morning, which means till 11 you can only offer Ekadashi, bhoga, I don't know. So you have to now cook Ekadashi. So I said, even the halwa, I've already started the halwa. So I said, no, halwa is okay. Then somebody else came after a few minutes. Said, no, halwa, Prabhupada and Mahaprabhu, for them the halwa is to be Ekadashi. So you make normal and Ekadashi halwa. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be giving class today. I'm doing cooking. And my mind was, okay, then I made Ekadashi halwa, normal halwa. And then my wife had made sabji in which she put some turmeric, which wasn't Ekadashi. That we put for Rajbhog. We started a fresh sabji. So it was all the challenges. Challenges. Everywhere there are challenges. But we remain undeterred. In every situation there are challenges. But there is failure possible in other services. If I had not made the Ekadashi, then okay, failure. Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada couldn't get halwa today because you didn't make Ekadashi halwa. Okay, failure. There is failure possible in deity worship. There is failure possible in cooking. There is failure possible in brooming, cleaning the temple. I was doing that service in Soho, and every time I would do it, after the Sunday feast, I would clean the restaurant downstairs. Every time there was this one particular devotee, he would come and say, so, have you finished? I said, yeah, just finished. Come. I said, okay. You take me to one corner somewhere where he would say, look, there's some rubbish there still. Is this how you do it? I said, sorry. And I do it there. It's very impossible. In every service, in Sankirtan service, you just went and stood there. Not like yesterday in the drama, this Bible said, not like that. Screaming, yelling, not like that. You stood there. Somebody passed, looked at you. Great service, man. Of course, I'm not asking you to just go and stand there. But great service done. In Sankirtan, no failure. This one service. This is one and only service, no failure. There is failure in every other service. So, our Srila Prabhupada has taught us this nirapeksha. Don't expect anything. You meet someone on the street, go down to the nirapeksha, first sutra, first word, nirapeksha, not expecting anything. Second sutra, second shanta, you remain equipoised. Somebody might, behave in a strange way. I was in Leicester Square distributing Bhagavad Gita many, many years ago. There was a Jordanian Arab and his wife or whoever in some burqa. And this Arab was, I gave the Bhagavad Gita and he said, come, let's have some beef curry first, then I'll take the Bhagavad Gita. I said, I immediately wanted to say something, but I said, no, my stomach is full, so maybe another time. You take the Bhagavad Gita. Somehow the conversation started. He took the Bhagavad Gita. I invited him to the temple for the feast. He came to the temple for the feast. He, anyway, fast forward, he was actually a student. and that girl that he was with was his wife, but he was a student staying alone in London. And fast forward, because a long story, he started coming for classes, and sometimes I used to speak Bhagavad Gita and solo, so he would come for those. For 1.5 years he came regularly for Sunday feast, chanting 16 rounds, going for Hare principles. He was a Jordanian sheikh. He was in touch with me for 7 years after that, and then we lost contact. So I don't know what happened. But he, in Jordan also, he took books, Prabhupada's books, in Arabic, in English, of course, in New English. But it started out in a very strange way. So Shanti. Nirvaira. Nirvaira means not to be irritating, arguing. Antaranga Prabhu also mentioned that yesterday. Not to be irritating and arguing. Nirvaira. We don't want to be arguing. On Oxford Street, Regent Street, while I was giving out some books, one homeless person was sitting and he saw me giving books. So after some time he was smoking and just in rags and stinking, and I actually didn't want to stay there for long, but it was a good corner, so I stayed. And he would watch me, and after some time he said, "Hey man, you got some book for me?" And I said, "Sure, you can have a book." My immediate reaction was, "I'll give him a leaflet." And I gave him a leaflet. He said, no, give me the book." So I said, "Okay, I have Bhagavad Gita, but we are taking some..." With him, I wasn't sober. I wasn't my sweet self. I was just like, "We are taking some donation for this. So you'd have to pay for the book." I just told him that. But I was a little irritated. Nirvaira means one is not irritated. Irritated with him. And I gave him Bhagavad Gita. He said, no, not this one, the other one. On which there was George Harrison. Chant and be happy. So I said, "What, this one?" He said, "Yes, give." So he took it. And I just turned and I started walking. I didn't want to ask him for anything. So I just turned and I thought, I have better opportunity elsewhere. He said, "Hey man, come back. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Take your money." I said, "Okay, you owe me £40. So I said, I've been waiting there for 1.5 hours. Didn't make £40 in 1.5 hours. So I was suddenly transformation of heart. I said, "Where are you from?" So he said, "I'm Irish." I started talking to him. And then I said, "Take Bhagavad Gita, it's better." He said, "No, I just want to chant and be happy." He read that. "Come on, just how many chant." So, Nirvaira. And the last quality, Samadarshana. Try to be equal to all. Don't leave a door out. Don't leave a person out because we think person is unworthy. So don't be irritated and don't be anyone. So these four are our principles also. And Srila Prabhupada's magic is what we are distributing. Srila Prabhupada's magic. As Mother Vishakha was saying the other day, and Prabhupada himself said this, that these purports are my ecstasies, my devotional ecstasies. The devotional ecstasies of a pure devotee whom even Krishna wants to follow, whom Krishna wants to worship. That personality's desire, that personality's instruction is what we want to follow. Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And distribute his devotional ecstasies. And he is the real magician. He will transform things. I'll end with one nice little pastime. In Mayapur, in September 1986, there was a very well-known magician in India, a Bengali guy, named P.C. Sarkar. And P.C. Sarkar is very famous now. He's no more. His son is now famous. So P.C. Sarkar was, he was India's Houdini, top magician. He could walk on rivers, he could do all kinds of really magical, magical things. So he was there, and Prabhupada was there also, and P.C. Sarkar was doing some magic show in front of Prabhupada, in Mayapur. And while he was doing the magic show, he took some fruit from some devotee's hand, covered it with a cloth, and then he removed the cloth and it turned into flower. And he covered the flower and he removed it and it turned into three white pigeons. And then he put the cloth again on the pigeons and he removed the cloth and it was gone, vanished. And everyone was laughing. Prabhupada was also happy. He was joyful. And then he was going around and saying, now you tell me what trick I should do. I did. P.C. Sarkar was saying. Prabhupada asked for the mic. Prabhupada said, listen carefully. Prabhupada said, can you make birth, death, old age and disease disappear? So, Rishi Sarkar said, no, that I cannot do. Prabhupada said, that is real magic. I can do that. So, Rishi Sarkar said, yes, Swamiji, only you can do that magic. So, Prabhupada is a real magician. And these books, all Prabhupada's books, are potent with that magical potion. If these touch anyone, their life is transformed. If anyone sees a devotee on Sankirtan, that person's life is transformed. This is a seva which has no glani. Glani meaning failure. No failure. The only service. So I'm amongst one of the first speakers. We have Shomal Prabhu speaking and Divyanam and so many others will be speaking and Vrindavan Prabhu. And they are, you know, like in the war, there is some warrior, then there is Rathi, then there is Ati Rathi, then there is Maharathi. So similarly, you start with first the foot soldiers go. Then the big personalities come. So we have this Vrindavan Prabhu, Shomal Prabhu, the Maharathis are coming later. But I just gave the first foot soldier note that our perfection of life is simply following the dust of the pure devotee, whose dust even Krishna wants to put on his head. That is what this verse is saying. So let us all engage in this unfailing Sankirtan movement by participating in the right mood. Of course, there is a method and there is a mood in everything. Let's not get stuck only on the method. Because method has to be there. There are tricks of everything. You will hear, this is a trick, this is how it works, this is how it doesn't work. And we should know that too. And these are the numbers. Like yesterday some numbers were shared. We have to do 300 devotees, each has to do 16 hours. And so somebody like me, I start calculating, okay, 300 devotees, 16 hours, that's 4,800 hours for 50,000 books. So that means each devotee per hour has to do 5.5 books. You can't do half books, so 5.5. So 6 books. So 6 books per hour, which means every 5 minutes there should be one book gone. So that's, some method is there, some calculation. But don't get hung up on the method. Because ultimately it is the mood. And when method and mood come together, success. But this is a service where there is only success. There is no unsuccessful outcome. The only service, not one of the service, the only service. This is my realization. The only service. But there is no failure. Teaching, katha, kirtan, sankirtan, yajna. So we do sangha, we do seva and sadhana. So this sankirtan yajna, we continue. And you will hear from the Atirathis and Maharathis in the coming days, and how we can practically make Srila Prabhupada happy. By making Srila Prabhupada happy, Krishna automatically will become happy. This is the secret of our own success. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sankirtan movement ki
jai.